Our scripture this morning comes from Revelation chapter 4. I'd ask that you turn with me there to Revelation chapter 4 as we get a glimpse of a worship service in heaven. As we get are transported in around the throne room of God. And as John pulls back the curtain for us to see our Lord in all his glory. Revelation 4, beginning in verse 1, John writing, now the inspiration of the Spirit says, after this, meaning after the time when the church age is complete, the message before this had been to the churches, and now that is complete. He said, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open into heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this, a reference to the rapture here. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. And before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around and even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, it's been a joy to be with you this morning already. But Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, your word is it stirs within our heart and draws us to you. I pray that through your word this morning, you would give us a glimpse of the glories of heaven and standing before your throne in that awesome day of what it is going to be like when we join the multitudes there in lifting up our worship and praise to you, our holy God, around your throne. Lord, help us to focus our eyes on you, and by the Holy Spirit, Lord, working within us, give us a glimpse to see and stir within our hearts that heavenly worship that you desire from us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been in a worship service that was rapturous and thrilling and an exhilarating experience, and it was so glorious you didn't want it to end? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. I've been in some like that, and one time when Kim and I was over in Uganda, we had some of the glorifying worship experiences over there. It was so joyful. Those Ugandans, when they sing, man, they worship and they dance. And it's hard to keep still. And they're singing and they're dancing and they're praising the Lord, singing out from the heart. And out of their poverty, they have joy. And being in times like that, of lifting up that rapturous praise and joy to the Lord, it's a little bit of heaven of what it's going to be like. And I was talking about in Sunday school this morning when Kim and I were with Operation Christmas Child, they had the Global Connect Conference, where they brought all the people from all the countries around the world where Operation Christmas Child is active. And we all started worshiping and singing the Lord together in our native language. And everybody was singing in their native language, one song of praise to the Lord, a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. Here in our scripture this morning, John gives us a glimpse, a little bit of glimpse of what worship in heaven is like. And we've been learning about heaven as we've been going through these weeks. And this morning, we're going to focus in on heavenly worship. What is it going to be like when that day when heaven comes to earth, or the Lord takes us to him, and we see him and gather around his throne for the first time? Imagine what it's going to be like to see Jesus and to be in his presence. And the worship and the wonder that will overflow us, that those who were already there enjoying. It said the multitudes and the myriads of angels. And John, in this scripture, John gives us a description of a future scene in heaven when all the redeemed will stand before the Lord from Adam until the last person, until the rapture, and we're all gathered together to worship our Lord, lifting up his name around his throne, and along with that is myriads and myriads of angels lifting up in voice and praise. Can you get that picture of standing there in voice? And isn't that going to be glorious? John gives us a little glimpse of what that's going to be like this morning. And as we look at Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we're going to discover three components of what heavenly worship is. Not only what it will be, but even how we're to worship him now. Because as we come together on Sunday morning, worship is something we do. Worship is an attitude. It's more than just singing a song. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just listening to a sermon. Worship is an attitude. It's a mindset. It comes out of who we are and what we do. And heavenly worship consists of three things. And first, it says that we will gather around his throne. Someday when we come together, we will, John says, that he was in the spirit, he looked and a door was opened up into heaven, and he heard a voice say, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place." John saw all the redeemed gathered around the throne room of God in his very presence, worshiping together. And someday, when we get to heaven, we are going to be in his very presence, around his throne, in person. Notice it says, he heard the voice, "Come up here and I will show you." It was a personal invitation. And the Lord has personally invited you that you have that privilege to be before his throne in his presence. Coming up here and to be in the presence of God. And imagine that someday you will be in the very presence of the creator of the universe. The Lord God Almighty, the one who made everything and spoke it all into being. Someday you will be gathered in his very presence. But even now, we have the privilege to worship him as he says, "Draw near me. Come to me. Come to my presence." And today we worship him through times like this. We worship him through our own prayer life, through his word. But we have that privilege, a personal worship with the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Isn't that awesome? It says that he was invited into his presence and he was in the spirit. It was spirit led. And when the spirit stirs in our heart, he moves within us and draws us. And he said, in heaven, he saw someone on the throne, and around the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were the elders dressed in white with crowns on their head. And who were these 24 elders dressed in white with crowns on their head? There's many different ideas, but I believe that it is a representation of us. The 12 representing the 12 Old Testament, 12 tribes of Israel, then the 12 representing the 12 apostles, the 24, the redeemed of all time. They were all gathered around the Lord's throne in our white robes of righteousness with our crown of victory and rejoicing on our head, standing in his presence rejoicing. We'll gather around his throne in person. We will also gather around his throne in submission. Verses 3 through 5 says that there was in the center was a throne, and the one who sat on it, well, of course, was the Lord himself. And a throne is symbolic. We don't have kings in our country, but a throne has always been symbolic of power and authority and sovereignty. And it's saying that our Lord has all authority, power, and is sovereign. He is the sovereign ruler and creator of the universe. And as we come together in worship, because he is the King of Kings, because he is the sovereign Lord, because he is the master, we bow down in submission to him. When we come into his presence, and as we come into worship this morning, and anytime we come to his word, we need to align ourselves and our will with the king's will. Because he is the one who is sovereign. He is the one who is on the throne, not us. And worship means that we come before him into his presence in submission, laying ourselves before him who is the one, the only one who is worthy to be on the throne. His throne is above every other throne. His name is above every other name. And he indeed is the King of Kings. He is sovereign and we bow before him. We also come into his presence in celebration. It says in verses 3 and 4 that they had crowns on their heads and they were dressed in white. Crowns of gold on their heads and they were dressed in white in verse 3 and 4 there. And in celebration of the promise that was kept. Because it says around the throne in verse 3 was an emerald, a rainbow that resembled an emerald that was around the throne. And as we come together someday when we get to heaven and we gather around his throne, we're going to be there together in person in celebration of the promise that he kept to us. And what was the promise that he gave us? John 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I am going there to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. Someday, we are going to stand before his throne in celebration that he kept his promise to us. That we are going to be gathered around his throne in his presence for all eternity. Doesn't that make you want to shout? It's glorious. We will stand together in the promise that he's kept. You say, well, Dan, where do you get that? Well, it says in verse 3 that there was a rainbow resembling an emerald around the throne of God. And the rainbow in Scripture was a reminder of something. You remember what it was a reminder of? God's promise. God's faithfulness. In the whole New Testament commentary of Revelation, Kendall H. Eastie states this, that the only rainbows mentioned in Scripture are these two. The beautiful but fleeting covenant rainbow of Noah's time in Genesis 9, and the beautiful but eternal rainbow surrounding God's throne in heaven. They're the only two rainbows mentioned. And the rainbow was set in the cloud when the Lord said in Genesis, and when I look at it, it will be a reminder of the everlasting covenant between God and man. So he went on to say, when God made the rainbow a sign of his covenant with humanity, he took something from his eternal throne in heaven, which was around his throne, and he endowed it with fresh meaning. At the same time, the rainbow around the throne of heaven has become a eternal reminder of God's covenant promise to us. So that rainbow around the throne is a reminder that God is faithful to his promise. And his promise is that he will bring us safely home to him. That we will be with him for all time. That's the assurance we have. So we will celebrate the promise that was kept and also the victory that was won. That's the gold crowns on their head. The crowns of gold is the victor's crown. And the victory that was won by crossing the finish line and coming into the presence of the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, he said, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith, and there's laid up for me the crown of rejoicing. But not only for me, but he said, for all of those who have longed for my appearing. And so someday when we stand before the Lord and we bow before his throne, we will celebrate the victory that we have won over sin and over death and over grave, and that we will be with him forever. Hallelujah. That's glorious. Go to chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. John continues this worship scene by recording more of it. He said, "Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open its scroll?' But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open it or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." But verse 5, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and his seven seals.'" We will celebrate not only the victory that we won, but we will celebrate Christ's victory over sin, Satan, death, and the grave, and that he crushed the head of that serpent forever, and that he is destroyed, and all evil is banished, and we will be in his presence. The Lamb of God has triumphed, and we will share with his victory and rejoice in his victory. So we will gather around this throne in person, in submission, in celebration of all that was done, of the victory that was won and the promise kept. We will also gather together in unison. It says that people from every tribe, nation, and language, as one family, all gather together. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every tribe, people, language, and nation, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands and crying out, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits in the throne and to the Lamb.'" So someday we will stand in unison with all the redeemed of all time, of every tribe, language, and nation who knows Jesus. And as one family, one people, we will be before the throne forever praising him. So heavenly worship, we will gather around the throne. And even now we come into his presence. But second, we will, as we worship, heavenly worship involves that we will exalt his name forever. We will give him glory and exalt his name. Verses 6 through 8, it says, "In the center around the throne were four living creatures covered with eyes in front and back." And you say, well, that's weird. The covered with eyes in front and back was just a symbolic way of expressing the omniscience of God, that these beings were reflecting God's glory, and the eyes all around, meaning that they could see all, and God's presence was everywhere. His glory was being manifested through them. And that they had living creatures like an eye, like a lion, ox, man, and an eagle, different manifestations of God's glory expressed through these creatures. But each of the living creatures led in worship around the throne. And it said under their wings, they had wings which showed they were swift to do God's work. But day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." We will exalt his name forever because we will praise him for who he is. Praising him for who he is as the holy God. Notice it says, as they lifted up this word of praise, they praised him by saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." That's who God is. The holy God. And when it refers to that word holy, when it refers to persons or things like us, that word holy means something that is, or someone that has been set apart from ordinary use for God's use, or to be set apart from sin. When it's talking about people, that's what holiness refers to. But when the word holy refers to God itself, it means moral excellence or perfection of character. And I don't know about you, but I'm far from perfect in my character. I'm far from excellent. None of us reach that standard of holiness or perfection. Only that is reserved for God himself. So God is not just holy, but it says here God is holy, 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 or three times holy. That's who he is. Not just moral excellence once, but moral excellence on top of that. And on top of that, when a word is repeated, it is done for emphasis. And you repeat a word in Hebrew, it's done to for emphasis. It's very rare for a word to be repeated three times. The triple repetition of the word holy emphasizes the purative nature and calls attention to the infinite and absolute holiness of God. In other words, he stands in a class by himself. He's not just holy. He is holy, holy, holy. Absolute perfection in holiness. And that's who our God is. And he is the one we worship. He is the one we adore. He's not just holy. He's holy in a class by himself. There is no one else like our God. And we worship him. And we will praise his name. And we give him glory that he alone is due. And his majestic. The only other time that this phrase appears in Scripture is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And I read that at the beginning of the service this morning. For the Lord is, and that Scripture says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So some have interpreted the triple holies as referring to each of the members of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because all three are present here in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. That the Son is holy, the Father is holy, the Son is holy, and the Spirit is holy, because all of them are God. That's who he is. And we will praise him for who he is, our holy God. And give honor this morning. You realize the God you worship is absolute holiness. And Isaiah says, when he saw him and came into the presence of the Lord and saw him high and lifted up, and the angels proclaiming that phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, his glory filled the temple. And he was struck and he fell on his face as he realized when he saw God for who he was, and he realized he fell so far short of it. When we get a vision of who our God is and we see ourselves in light of his holiness, we thank God for his grace. And Isaiah said that an angel came then and took tongs from off the altar and touched his lip and said, your sin has been taken away. God has cleansed us that we can come before him through Jesus. But we worship him for who he is, as the holy God, as the almighty God. He goes on to say, holy, 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 verse 8, is the Lord God Almighty. That God Almighty or Almighty God means all power. That he has all power. There's nothing that he can't do. That almighty power was demonstrated in creation when he spoke and everything came out of nothing. There's many ways, and God demonstrated that power. And that almighty God who has all power is present in your life. And he is working in you. And that power is demonstrated in working through your life. And he is that almighty God, limitless. And so many times we limit God by very small visions of him, don't we? And we limit what we do. And sometimes we pray and we say, why didn't God answer my prayer? It's because we limit him and don't realize that he is almighty. There is all power, all might. Nothing limits him. Nothing is impossible with him if he wants to do it according to his good purpose and will. Our view of God sometimes is way too small. And realize that he is indeed the Almighty One, the Almighty God. And he is the eternal God. Notice it says, who was, who is, and who is to come. That God existed before anything else, God was. And it's hard to fathom that before the world and universe was created, God was already there. And God is already into the future. And he is the eternal one. He identified himself to Moses on Mount Sinai as I am. I am who I am. I am the one who always was, who always will be, the eternal God. And because he is the eternal God, he breathed eternity into us and has given us the hope of eternal life. So we will praise him for who he is. So this morning, praise God for who he is, his glory, his holiness, his majesty. But also, we will praise him for what he has done. Look at verse 11. It says, they laid their crowns before him, the 24 elders representing the church as a whole, laid their crowns before him and said, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and praise. You're worthy of our praise and honor. Why? Not only because of who he is, but it says, because you created all things, and for your will they were created and have their being. We praise God not only for who he is, but what he's done. And look back in your life and see what has God done in your life There's another song C.C. Winans sings, one of my favorite, called The Goodness of God. And the words say, in all my life, he's been faithful. You've been faithful. And in all our life, he's been so good. And the goodness of God is displayed. And praise him for all he's done and his work of creation. It says here, verse 11, you created all things. And all creation stands in glory and in testimony to the greatness and the power of God and his powerful work. We also praise him in his work of redemption. Chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 12, he says, the elders around the throne again, and a loud voice cried out and said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and praise. That slain was his work of redemption. So praise God for what he's done for you. And he's created you. He's gifted you. He made you. Made you his masterpiece. But also praise him for his work of redemption in you. That Jesus left the glories of heaven and laid that aside and came to this earth and suffered and died for you and for me, that we could be redeemed and brought back. Isn't that worthy of praise? That should fill us with wonder and majesty, his goodness. So we'll praise him for all he's done. We'll praise him for who he is. And we will praise him in all that we do. Notice verse 8 says that every day, those standing around the throne, they cried out day and night and never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The picture in heaven at this worship around the throne is continual. Continuing to praise God for all that he's done. And we will too, when we get to heaven, and even now, our lives should be an act of praise and worship to the Lord. So you may be asking me, Lizzie, will heaven be a never-ending worship service? Will we be in church every single day, every single moment of heaven? Is that what we have to look forward to? How many would want that? To be in a never-ending church worship service. I don't see one hand. I see one. But is that what he's saying? Day and night, they never stop praising him. They never stop saying, holy, holy. We're going to be nothing in heaven except praising God in a long worship service all day. The answer to that is no. We will not be in a never-ending worship service. What that simply means is all that we do will be and is an act of worship and glory to God. And isn't that what we should be doing now with our life? Everything we do is an act of worship and glory to him, as an act of worship and service to God. And in heaven, it's going to be the same way. When Adam tended the garden before the fall, he tended the garden as an act of worship and glory to God. And it'll be the same way in heaven as well. Worship will be done in all his name, to all his glory, in everything we do in heaven. It will be an act of worship and praise. So that's why we will praise his name and exalt his name forever, because our entire life will be lived for his glory, which is what we were created to do. So we will gather around his throne, we will exalt his name forever, and third, we will lay our crowns at his feet. Verse 8, 9 through 11 says that when they gave glory, the 24 elders representing the church fell down, who sits on the throne, who lives forever, and they laid their crowns before the throne in worship. Someday, when we get before the Lord, we are going to take those crowns and we are going to lay them at his feet and give them back to him, because he alone is worthy of them. Because he is worthy of all glory. It says, when they gave the crowns, it said, you are worthy, our Lord, to receive all glory, honor, and praise. He alone is the one who is worthy. He is the one on the throne, not us. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who is worthy of those crowns. He is the one to whom the glory goes to. And we will give that back to him as we lay those crowns. And what are those crowns? That's acts of service and faithfulness. It's the treasures we lay ahead. It's what we do for him and his glory. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for him. And those are crowns that we'll have to return to lay back at his feet to give glory to his name. And we also lay those crowns before him because he is the provider of all things. He is the one that provided and gives us all that we have. All that we have has come from him. He's the creator. He's our sustainer. He's our provider. If we have anything, it's because he gave it to us. And by laying those back at his feet, we're acknowledging the fact again that he is sovereign. He is Lord. He alone is worthy of receiving that praise and glory, not us. Whatever he gives us, we're to hold loosely and lay them right back at his feet again. And we will do that as part of our heavenly worship. So we need to be practicing that now and returning back to the Lord those things and laying them at his feet. So we will fall down and we will lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. So the question is, as we worship our Lord this morning and as we prepare for heaven and practice for heaven, what do you need to lay down at his feet today? Maybe you need to lay down your pride. Maybe you need to lay down your bitterness. Maybe you need to lay down some sin that's been setting you. But what is it that you need to lay down before him this morning at his feet and in his presence? Because he's here, only you know the answer to that question. But what is it? And whatever we need to lay down, the next question is, do you regard him as holy? He is indeed holy. The angels proclaim him as that. That is his nature, not just holy, but holy, holy, holy. Do you regard him and honor him as holy? The Lord Almighty. Whenever I hear someone say and refer to our God, the Almighty One, as the man upstairs, that goes through me like a knife. I hate that because that's not giving him the honor that he is regarding him as holy. That's who he is. We don't treat him flippantly or lightly. And if you do regard him as holy, the next question, are you living your life as an act of worship? If you regard him as holy, then we need to be living our life as an act of worship even now, knowing that someday when we get to heaven, all that we do will be done as an act of worship to him. And are you living for eternity? Are you laying up treasures and living your life now to have be sending treasures ahead that you will have crowns to be able to place and to lay at his feet someday? That's the calling for us this morning as we come together and worship. We will gather around his throne. We will exalt his name forever. And we will lay our crowns at his feet as we worship our Lord. And that's what God called us to do. So we fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of his mercy and his power of love. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for giving us a glimpse of who you are in your glory and majesty, that someday we will gather around your throne in person. We will see your face. We will gather together in celebration of the promise that you kept to us and of the victory that was won when we finished that race. It will be a glorious day. And Lord, we thank you that you invite us even now into your presence to worship you. And Lord, as we gather around your throne there, we will exalt your name forever. For indeed, you are the Holy One. There is none like you. And we praise you for what you've done for us. Lord, we also exalt you and praise you for who you are as the Holy One and what you've done for us as our Savior, as our Creator. And Lord, may we praise you in all that we do as we live our lives for your glory, that what we do in our life is an act of worship and service to you. And Lord, also that someday we will lay before you all glory and honor. We will lay those crowns at your feet and we will bow down before you, the King, the Sovereign, the Lord of all, and bow before your majesty and lay our crowns before you because you alone are the only one worthy of them. We find mercy and grace at your throne and we worship you there and we adore you. So Lord, this morning, if there's anything that we need to lay down in our life before you this morning, that we do that. That Isaiah, as he saw you in your glory, as he saw you lifted up in your holiness, and he realized how far he has fallen short, Lord, we do as well. May we respond in confession and respond, Lord, laying down to you those things we need to in your presence. Thanking you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, as we worship you, we thank you for your presence among us and bringing us together today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.